produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Greetings. My name is Matsie Mukwena, coming from South Africa. The name of the program is called The Voice of God, Lentswe la Modimo, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. Today I will be talking about God's weaknesses. Dipaki tsa Jehovah. I'm reminded of the Lord Jesus Christ just before he returned to heaven. He explained to his disciples that they were to do certain things after his departure. He left us on earth that we might be his witnesses. I will be reading from the book of Acts 1, reading verse 8, it says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." He says, "You shall witness in Jerusalem, in all Judea and in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Now, this verse, it speaks of two important things. It speaks of the Holy Spirit and it speaks of weaknesses. Now, what is a weakness? Now, I will refer to the dictionary where it defines the word as the one who has seen or heard something, the one who furnishes evidence. In the book of Luke 1, I will read from verse 2, it says, "The disciples, they boldly testified, 'We are eyewitnesses from the beginning.'" And then if you read 2 Peter 1, verse 6, it says, it speaks of the eyewitnesses of his majesty. The book of Acts 4, reading from verse 20, it also speaks of John and Peter, who said, "We cannot help but speak the things which we have seen or heard." Clearly, they were saying, "We are witnesses of the things that we have seen about the Lord Jesus Christ. We are witnesses of the things that we have heard of Jesus Christ." And that is our responsibility as Christians, that we are called to be God's witnesses. Now, Jesus is a witness of himself and the Father by his words and by his miracles and by his actions. The Holy Spirit is also a witness to Jesus Christ. The scriptures, they also witness of the Trinity. Then we have the disciples who also became the witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even today, the mandate has not changed. We are still called to be his witnesses. I will read the book of Acts 10. Kebala from verse 43, Erehakebala. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Witnessing about the cross of Jesus Christ to this world, it's foolishness because they do not believe. But what is it that is preventing us from witnessing as Christians? Why are we so worried and keeping quiet about this powerful message of the gospel? I'm just going to mention three things. They are some of the contributing factors. Number one, I will be talking about the fear of being rejected by family and friends. A lot of times, what will my family say? What will my friends say? The second reason is that we become so insecure about our faith. You find someone saying, I'm not sure if this thing is real or not, but I know I have received him, but I'm still not sure about it. May the Lord increase our faith in him. The third reason is that in other parts of the world, persecution is still a great threat. But the Bible did tell us that we shall be and we will be persecuted for his name's sake. But we must remember, Rehopola hore, none of these obstacles can be compared with the sad reality as people are dying every day without Jesus Christ. The world is hungry and they need him, and we cannot be silent because we are called to be God's witnesses. We are to testify about the gospel. I will read from 1 Corinthians 15, starting from verse 1 to 4. It says, now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, and on which you have taken your stand. Our stand must be only on the gospel that we have received. And he continues to say, by this gospel you are saved, if you hold on firmly to the word I have preached to you. Then I go to verse 3, it says, for what I received I have passed on to you as the first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. He says, there's this important thing that I need to pass on to you, that you must remember that he died for our sins according to the scriptures. He says, this is the gospel that you have received. That is why we also need to take the same gospel from the same scriptures according to the scriptures, that he was buried and he is alive even today. As witnesses, we need to remember that we are called to always testify about his resurrection and that he is the only God. He's the King of Kings. Now, a witness is someone who can surely and boldly say, I know I am going to tell you the truth. They say, I am only going to speak the truth. Now, we must remember that in any court of law, a witness must swear on a Bible. And he or she must promise to tell the truth. Not half the truth, not some of the truth, but the whole truth. It is able to help even the court itself. Now, a witness, They must tell nothing less than the truth. Even with us as God's witnesses, when we go out there into the world, we do not subtract, we do not add, we do not speak half the truth, we do not speak half the truth, we do not speak some of the truth, but just like in the court of law, we speak the whole truth, we preach the whole truth, and we do not compromise. I will be reading the book of Acts 2, starting from verse 32. God has raised Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. There's a fact that we must remember, that we are not going to just testify to anything, but only that Christ was raised to life by God. I would like to also kilebale the book of Acts 22. I will read from verse 14 to 15. It says, then he said, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will, and to see the righteous one, and to hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witnesses to all men of what you have seen or heard. As we are in this journey of traveling and following Jesus Christ, we are not just following, but we are following while we are testifying to others. And calling them to the same God that we are following and say, come, come, let us follow. All of us, let us follow him. Now we need to be such witnesses that go out there and call others to him. Let us never forget what we have seen or what we have heard of him and keep it to ourselves. It is not meant for us. It is meant that we take it to the world. That is the great mandate that we have been given by the Lord Jesus Christ. I will read the book of Acts 3, reading from verse 15. It says, Peter, he is speaking and he says, you killed the Prince of Life, who God raised from the dead, and of which we are witnesses. The issue of being witnesses, it can never be a private matter. That is why he was speaking this in public and saying, but you killed the Prince of Life. But today, we are the witnesses. And I pray that as witnesses, we continue to share the word with our family members. We share the word with our colleagues. We share the word in schools. We share the word in every public place, that everybody must know that there is a Prince of Life who was raised from the dead, and today he is alive and still saving, and he is still taking people out of sin into the light that he is. A witness is a person who tells the truth. And you do not tell half the truth, but the whole truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the disciples of Jesus, they testified to the things they knew to be true about Jesus Christ. I do not know what is it that you know is the truth, but here is what I would like you to know. That there is the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ. That it is the power that we have been given to all who believe in him. He is the hope that we have today. Above all, the disciples, they testify to the truth of his resurrection. I will read from 1 John Kebala, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard. We must remember that as a witness, you must be able to do two things. You must be able to see and hear the word. And it says, from the beginning which you have heard, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled according and have handled concerning the word of life. There is a word of life, and horen retlameile, hore re shebe holona. As witnesses, we are to handle it with diligence. There are three stages that are very important that we need to remember as God's witnesses. Number one, Christ appeared on earth that we may be saved from our sins. Number two, we must experience him as our Lord and personal Savior. And number three, as witnesses, we must declare him to others. How qeta o tseba hore ke yena ya pholosang lo yena o bitsa ba bang hore hona ne motho ya ntsa phela a phela hore a re tsireletsa re ntse sebeng. Witnesses must remain faithful to Jesus no matter what the cost is. We need to speak of his power, the power of his resurrection. As witnesses, we must pray for boldness and to be true to his word. Cowards cannot testify. Cowards cannot stand. But Christ has called us not to be cowards, but we need to be courageous and bold and preach to others. John the Baptist did not fail to confess. And he continued to tell them, and he said, I know, no, I am not the Christ. They were trying to ask him a lot of questions, but he kept it very simple, and he said, I am not the Christ. I will read from John 1, reading verse 6-8. There was a man sent from God, whose name was John. This man came as a witness to testify concerning the light, so that through him all men might believe. As a witness, you only speak of what you have seen or heard, so that others may also believe. And it says, as I continue to read, he himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. We must never make a mistake of trying to take the glory to ourselves. We are only God's witnesses. And we see it very clear in the book of John that he said, he himself was not the light, but he came only to testify about this light. We are witnesses of all kinds of things in this world. Sometimes we witness crime. Sometimes we witness accidents, and the court will call and say, can you testify about this type of crime? But we must remember, as Christians, that our greatest mandate and task, it is to be witnesses of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all called to witness this light, this resurrection of Christ, him crucified. Matthew 9:38. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Therefore, ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you will become the witnesses of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you will go out there as you have believed to call others into this light that we have been given through grace. God is inviting us to cooperate and work together with the Holy Spirit in telling others about Jesus Christ. He empowers us, the Holy Spirit, to be able to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 1, reading from verse 16 to 17, I will read, and it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. For the Jews first, and also for the Greek. For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us remember that as witnesses, there is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. That everyone becomes a witness so that we all testify about God's greatness, about this God who is still concerned about the sin of this world, and he gave his only son that whosoever believes in him must be saved, but they has to be laborers that go into the harvest to call others to Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we are called to be God's witnesses. That's all we have for today. This is Matsie Mukwena, and we are broadcasting on SKM Radio Network, USA and World. And this program is produced by Mercedes Godu. God bless you.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Well, 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 good day, good evening, good morning, wherever you are throughout the world that the Lord has created and the Lord has given unto us to live in it and give him glory. Greetings to you again and welcome to Destined for Glory. My name is Benjamin Kutswane, and this is your program, Destined for Glory, through the airwaves of Finding My Way Radio. So we greet you today in the name of Jesus Christ, and we welcome you to the program that we believe God has stirred up by his Spirit, for he knows what you and I need today. And we believe that this is the day that the Lord has made for us to rejoice and be glad in. And so even as we go into our program today, let's begin with prayer together. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we thank you again for yet another day that you made for us to rejoice and be glad in. We thank you that, Father, you have appointed that we shall be alive in this day, in the year 2017, where we shall see your glory that is destined to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. Father, I embrace every one of the listeners throughout the world. We speak the breakthrough of the name of Jesus Christ as the exalted one, whom you have exalted and gave the name that is above every other name. We speak the breakthrough of the name of Jesus in the spirit, in the soul, in the body, in the character, in the material, and in the relations of everyone that is listening right now. And we thank you that in you there is abundance of life, and we speak the witness of that abundance of life in the life of everyone that is listening right now. In the name of Jesus, we receive our faith right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, dear listener, this is yet another day for us to embrace the broken seals of the revelation of God's Word. And even as we go into this program, let me just put it forward to you that you can connect with us if you want to email us. You can email me on bkutsuwane, that's B for Benjamin, and KHUTSOANE at yahoo.com. That's where you can connect with me right there or on our Facebook page, that's Benjamin Kutsuwane on Facebook page. And of course, through the Finding My Way Radio, you can also connect with us. And of course, on our mobile number there, it's +27 for South African code, +27 and 72115173. And we can connect together, pray together, even over the line. And we know that God is faithful. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we ask, what we think, and what we desire. So we thank God today that we can embrace together the appointment with the heavens. Remember, he said, "What two or three gather together in my name," he says, "there am I in the midst of them." I do believe that as we meet across the world through the airwaves right now, it's more than two or three. And remember when Jesus said, "What two or three gather together in my name," he didn't give us just a religious conscience super statement where we comfort ourselves when people did not turn up. No, when he said two or three gather together in my name, he meant there is a covenanted resolution in heaven that whenever we connect in the name of Jesus, heaven cannot hold back. Heaven is bound to come down. Heaven is bound to release the heart of God, the intent of God, which is life and life eternal for everyone who receives, even in the presence of Jesus. So we thank God that we can connect in this way. Remember that we've been going together with the victory of the revelation of Jesus. This is the word that says to you and I, the ultimate victory for us to live in this world is to receive Jesus Christ by revelation. And what is the channel of revelation? I want us to receive it today, that the channel of revelation is faith. Yes, faith is the channel of the revelation of Jesus Christ, because the revelation of Jesus Christ is embodied in what the world calls grace. It is the grace of God. The grace of God is the very revelation of Jesus Christ. But faith is the channel that channels the revelation of Jesus Christ in our life. Where do we get that from? When we read our Bibles again in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, the word says unto us, "You were saved by grace." And it says, through faith. You are saved by grace through faith. Know that if you are seated where you are, you can do it with the actions that you were saved, or we are saved by grace. Grace is like a cross. Why? Because grace is revealed unto all. So grace is like the horizontal spread of what God has provided. But then it says through faith. When it says through faith, it means faith now becomes like the vertical cutting, channeling the grace of God into your life and into my life. And that's why whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, because faith channels the revelation of Jesus Christ in our life. So it's very important that as we go through this, you understand that we are not just speaking revelation as some spiritistic thing that cannot be accessed. No, we are talking about that which God has provided for, that by faith, you and I can channel the grace of God into our life and begin to live the life of grace and be saved by grace. And it says, through faith. So note that as we continue with this access and victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ, living the life of victory through the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now, we are in the season right now of the Passover celebration throughout the whole world. Everybody knows It is called the Easter season all over the world. We know that it's the celebration of the Passover. And Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. According to 1 Corinthians chapter 5, Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. And he makes us the 11th lamb. That is the lamb that is appointed to be without sin. Why? Because Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, that we be made the righteousness of God. So as we are the righteousness of God. According to 1 Corinthians 5:20, we are the 11th lamb. And so we are in the season of celebrating the Passover. And for today, as a prophetic interjection that puts us in alignment with the heartbeat of heaven in this season, throughout the world, there is a shaking that is taking place. And we know that it is God shaking, because he said in the word, he said in Hebrews chapter 12, behold, I shake all things. And when he said all things this time, he says the heavens and the earth. There is a shaking. And he says, so that in this shaking, the things that remain may remain, and those that be removed be removed. And he said the things that remain are the things of the kingdom of God. And that's Hebrews chapter 12 for you. Now, we are in the season of the shaking, and we are celebrating the Passover. It is important, therefore, to prophetically connect what God is calling the church kingdom for. What is the church about? What is receiving Jesus about in this season? I do believe that receiving Jesus in this season is about the call to stand before the rulers of this world, before every principality and power, and begin to stand to proclaim the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we can see right now, with the flip of a television switch, the spirits that are prevailing all over the world are the spirits that are the same throughout the world. The things that the United States of America is facing politically are the same things that South Africa is facing. They're the same things that Europe is facing. They're the same things that the Middle East is facing right now. And right in the midst of all that, God has appointed Jesus Christ, and he has exalted him, and through him, he has called out and birthed the church in the earth. And Jesus himself, as we read in Matthew 16 the previous week, he declared that I will build my church upon the rock of my revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail. So the question is, how does the church stand in the midst of what's going on in this season of the Passover? The only way we can stand is to look at him, Jesus Christ, who is our Passover. How did he stand in the midst of the development of his time? I do believe that God allowed Jesus to walk this world and to stand the way he stood, so that in the time that we are living in, we'll be able to stand and speak the heart of the Father and speak the will of God right here on earth. And I want us to receive a few points as we will be reading some scriptures that are positioning us with the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ in the Passover season for such a time as this throughout the world, in the face of all the political developments that are taking place in the world. Number one, we must understand that these things are constructions. The revelation and the word we are sharing with you, they are constructions of creative, interceptive, governmental posture. God wants us to stand creatively. How? As those who are co-creators with him. For the Bible says we are co-laborers with God. Yes, we are his workmanship. That's Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are co-laborers with God. We are his workmanship. We are created in Christ unto good works. Are we hearing this now? We are created in Christ unto good works, which means we are appointed to be co-creators with God to produce good works right here in the earth. Why good works? Because the devil, who is the god of this world, is blinding the minds of those that do not believe. And the evil is trying to parade itself as though it's ruling the world. But we are appointed unto good works, so that through the good we will be able to destroy the evil. For we overcome the evil with the good. So we are receiving creative, interceptive, governmental prayer posture through these things. Number one, understand the power of governance domain throughout the world, the political spheres of governance, so that we know how to pray prophetically. The power of the governance domain is divinely set by God, and it is upon those that are in it. It has dominion over those that are in it. The power of the governor's domain is divinely vested upon the domain itself, which means it is God who has appointed that there be the divine order of governance even in the earth. And that's why in 1 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, I exhort therefore that prayers and intercession, supplications be made for all men, for the rulers, for the authorities, for those that are in power. Why? Because it is God who set up that order. And therefore, when we pray in obedience to God's command to pray, in God's counsel for us to pray, the minute we do it, we are connecting the divine purpose of God for the direction of the affairs of this world. And number two, the governance domain does not belong to the politicians or any opinion camp that might be here in the world. As we see them throughout, we cannot even name names, but as we know the structures of governance, here is prophetic direction. The governance domain does not belong to men and women who are in the opinion camps of that. Number three, the domain of governance wields power over those that are standing in them, and therefore, if not reverently recognized, if not honored, if not discerned with the fear and the conscience that is quickened unto God, there is bound to be vulnerability to drunkenness with power or abuse of power that prevails throughout the whole world. Why are these things happening? Because the domain of governance wields power that is from God over those that are posted as officials there. And if they do not discern that power right, there is bound to be confusion, there is bound to be abuse, misuse, or even drunkenness with power. Now, why are we showing this thing? Because in the Passover season, when Jesus was brought before the rulers of the world, he stood in a time like the time that we are standing in right now. When Jesus was brought before the Pilate to stand, he himself was the embodiment of the truth. He was the embodiment of justice. He was the embodiment of righteousness. He was the embodiment of power. He was the embodiment of integrity. He was the embodiment of incorruptibility, humility, and he was life itself. Yet, he was dragged before the rulers of the governor's domains of his time. It was in the same way. What does this mean for us? It means we are brought to such a time as this to stand even as Christ stood in the midst of all that is going on. Why? Because we now are the unleavened bread, and Jesus Christ is our Passover lamb. So out of his grace that he stood with before the ruler, he exposed Pilate. When we read now in John chapter 19, we read John chapter 19 and verse 10 and 11. When we read there, we see Jesus standing before Pilate. And as Jesus stands before Pilate, he is brought nearer now to the time of his death. And we are in this season of the Passover celebration throughout the world. It is important to notice this. After Jesus was mocked and mocked and mocked, he was brought before Pilate. And Pilate said unto him, Are you not speaking to me? When Jesus was silent, he said, Do you not know that I have power to crucify you and power to release you? Jesus answered and said, You could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, the one who delivered me to you had the greater sin. He was referring to Judas and the Jews that were even giving him over. And he said to him, Listen, you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given to you from above. I want you to know this. In the season of the Passover, here is twice our Passover. He humbles himself still even in that confession. While the confession is a confession of authority, but he released it with humility. He could have said to Pilate, Don't you know that I am the one who has come from above, and therefore I'm having the power, I'm the one who is carrying the power of the office that you are occupying. But Jesus still humbled himself and said to him, Don't you know that you could have no power at all against me unless it had been given you from above. Now, what was this? It was Jesus exposing the ignorance of the domain of governance, the political sphere of his time, which was mainly aiming to crucify him and to silence the voice of God through his life. As people shouted, crucify him, they meant silence his voice. But he stood there and said, The power you have is the power that comes from above, where I come from. But in the same way, like the political rulers of our day, Pilate was blinded by the foolishness of world intelligence and wisdom. He thought that he had power over the truth. He thought he had power over justice. He thought he had power over righteousness, which is all Jesus. He thought he had power over Jesus. In the same way, the powers of the day, they think they do have power over the church kingdom. But listen, Matthew 16, Jesus has already declared, I will build my church upon the rock of my revelation, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. What does this mean? It means that every expression of evil that we see, even manifesting through the governments of the world systems, every evil you might be seeing will not prevail against the church, against the witness of the church, against what the church stands for. For the church stands for the truth of God, the justice of God, the righteousness of God, the power of God, the integrity of God, the incorruptibility of God. And he says, the gates of hell will not prevail. What does this mean? It means, therefore, the truth of Jesus Christ will prevail. This is the hope that we have. Why? Because Christ in us is the hope of glory. The very glory that the domains of political rule is searching for is touching. The very glory that every sphere of social engagement is searching for is the glory that God has locked to be embodied in the church through Jesus Christ. And he declares that Christ in us is the hope of glory. Therefore, this means the evil that we see around may be something that is holding you in your life, and the devil is trying to put you in a corner and say, you're not the only one that give in to this evil. You are not the only one that give in to this addiction. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, no, God has appointed that that expression of hell, whether it's an attack in your spirit, whether it's an attack in your soul, in your mind, an oppression of the enemy, God has not appointed it to prevail. He says the gates of hell, the expressions of evil, will not prevail against the revelation of Jesus Christ. When you receive the revelation of Jesus Christ, you are poised, positioned, and empowered that you can stand to declare and speak the victory over every evil plot of the enemy against your life. Why? Because in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, the evil, which is the devil, which is the expression hell. He says that he comes, Father, but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But he says, I am come as Jesus, as the good shepherd. I am come that you might have life and life abundantly, which means not just life for a moment, not just life for an emotional experience of expectancy. No, life abundantly, life in an overflowing way, life in a sustained way. That's what Jesus has come for, my beloved. That's what this Passover lamb in the season of Easter, in the season of the Passover celebration throughout the world, that's what this Passover lamb is about. So as Jesus stood before Pilate, saw the church, it's called to stand in the face of all that is going on. And you may ask me right now, who is the church? The church is you and I, my friend, when we open up our hearts and say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. This is the victory of the revelation of Jesus Christ. Now I want to close it right now with 1 John chapter 5 and verse 1, where it says, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Yes, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church of the Passover Lamb is the church that is born of God. Why? Because we have believed that Jesus is the Christ. Now here is the breakthrough for you that we will link up together with the Matthew 16 where we began. The closing of the last principle of Matthew 16 where we read, he said to Peter, I will give you the keys of the kingdom. Now in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14, he says, this now is our confidence. This is our confidence in Christ Jesus, that whatever we ask, listen to this right now, this is the confidence that we have, that when we come to him and pray according to his will, he hears us. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. There we are. He says, this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And when we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. This is the kingdom authority. This is the keys of heaven released unto you and me, that whatever we bind on earth is already bound in heaven. Whatever we lose on earth is already loose in heaven. So you and I have to walk the fulfillment of the Passover lamb on the cross, declaring it is finished. So we are called to begin to execute the finished work of the cross of Jesus Christ. This is your time. This is the glory that you are destined for, even right here in this world, so that through you and I, we will irradiate the knowledge of the glory of the Lord to cover the earth, even as the waters cover the sea. We speak the blessing of the Lord throughout the Passover celebration of your life. Know that Christ is the Passover lamb, and by the revelation of him in your life, you have victory over all the world. And that's the victory for your life. Receive it right now in your spirit, your soul, your body, your character, and your material. Receive it for the glory of God in Jesus' name. Amen.